Welcome back to another episode of the Twisted Sisters True Crime Podcast. I'm your host, Erin.
And I'm your co-host, Rocio. I just wanted to say it like that every once in a while.
You switch it up all the time. I never know. Okay. I'm excited to tell you guys this week's story. In this story, we're going to talk about a young girl named Maddie Clifton. Trigger warnings for this episode include graphic details about murder and harm to minors. We hope you guys enjoy this week's episode, and don't forget to check out our links, including our Instagram and our blog. This is where we interact the most. If you guys have a case that you want us to cover, check out our Google forum. It's in our description posted with this week's episode. Now on to the episode.
Yes. Yay. Erin. So who is Maddie Clifton?
I am glad you asked because we're going to jump right into it. So born Madeline Ray Clifton. She was born on June 17th of 1990 in Jacksonville, Florida.
Ew. So, I hate Jacksonville.
Yeah. Right. Does it bring back fond memories? Yeah, I've been to Florida, but I don't think it was Jacksonville. I know it wasn't.
Yeah, no. Let's just leave it at that. No, thank you.
Exactly. Just no. So Maddie was raised in a time where, like, her parents let her roam around, which is kind of similar to most people who grew up in the 90s. Like, we were late 90s, early 2000s, but, like, I remember playing outside all the time, and my parents, like, yeah, they worried about me being in the neighborhood, but as far as, like, being directly in front of the house, they were okay with that as long as I kind of told them around about where I'd be.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, so, like, we grew up in pretty similar, you know, areas and safe neighborhoods and... But, like, if you think nowadays, I would never let my kid just be, like, roaming out in the neighborhood.
Isn't that so sad? Like, we used to have so much fun.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. I literally saw on Facebook today someone in the town that we both grew up in, they said that their child almost got taken in their front yard today.
No way. That's so scary.
Yeah, it is. And luckily, this little girl had the instincts and, like, ran back inside and told her parents. But, like, the neighbors caught the truck on camera and everything. Like, they tried to swipe her from her yard.
Oh, my God. I really hope they catch them because what the fuck? How old is this little girl? Do you know?
They didn't say, but I'm assuming probably under the age of 10.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But that's just crazy to me.
For real.
So we also have to remember, like, the time that she grew up, 1990, and then our story takes place in 1998. This was before the Columbine shooting. This was before 9/11. So people were really relaxed.
Yeah, everybody was really chill.
You know, yeah, nobody had the fear of, you know, terrorism, shootings. It was just like, yes, it still happened, but it was pretty... not common.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Maddie was the child of Steve and Sheila Clifton, and she had an older sister named Jessie. Maddie attended the school of San Jose Catholic School, and most people described her as full of life and ready to take challenges.
She sounds really cool. She sounds really just ready to take on life, sounds like.
There wasn't much more on Maddie and her family. They seemed like your typical family living in a nice neighborhood. Nothing out of the ordinary. So, flash forward to 1998. Maddie is 8 years old. And life is still pretty normal, and Maddie continued to play outside and roam free. Well, on November 3rd of 1998, Maddie came home from school around 4:30 p.m. and did a bit of piano practice before stepping outside to play. Sheila Clifton called for her daughter to come home for dinner, but received no response at about 6:20 p.m. When her calls and checks around the house yielded to nothing, Maddie's mother dialed 911 at about 6:30 p.m.
So she wasn't even out there that long because she got home from school at 4:30 and then she did a piano practice. Who knows how long that took. And then she went to play outside. So 6:20, like, it couldn't have been that long.
Give or take probably an hour because you got to think probably piano practice for about 30 minutes, 45. So she probably went outside about 5:30. So, like... either 5 o'clock, so about hour and a half in between that time. Not a lot of time at all.
No.
Mm-hmm. So when Maddie disappeared, the entire town kind of sprung to action while the whole nation watched. And between November 4th through the 9th, more than 1,000 people across northeast Florida came to search for Maddie, combing her entire neighborhood and passing out flyers. Amongst those people was Joshua.
Mm, okay.
So, who you might ask Joshua is...
Yeah, who is Joshua?
Exactly. So, he was born on March 17th of 1984 in Allentown, Pennsylvania. But in the early 90s, his family moved across the street from the Cliftons in Florida. His father, Steve Phillips, a computer specialist, was incredibly strict and violent towards him and his mom. So Steve also would become furious if he knew that other children were in his house, especially without him. Even more so if he had been drinking, which he did often. So basically, Josh kind of had the opposite of Maddie. His parents were strict. They didn't really like for him to go outside and play. They didn't like for him to have friends over. They just kind of wanted him to be by himself.
That sucks. That sounds like a shitty childhood.
Yeah. So as fate would have it, the freedom of one young girl and the fears of an abused teen would clash to deadly results. So before I get into all of that mess, the day after Maddie disappeared, a detective visited Joshua Phillips and interrogated him about Maddie. And he confirmed that he saw Maddie the previous day, but declined any suggestion that they had even played together. And it wasn't really stated why, but the police did a search of the Phillips home. So Phillips' car, like the whole house, was searched. The car and the storage were ransacked by police, who returned to the question of Joshua's room in a few days. So they didn't, it doesn't really say so much as to what parts of the house they searched, because it kind of led to the fact that they didn't look in Joshua's room. So
they looked everywhere but his room?
Yeah, it's like they didn't even really, they might have pondered at it, but they didn't really ransack it like the others had stated, which was odd to me.
Yeah.
So it had already been a week into the like situation of Maddie's disappearance, and several flyers and $50,000 reward was promised to anyone with helpful information. And unfortunately, no information came up. Literally none of it.
Nobody knew anything?
No, nobody came forward about anything. You had these thousands of people out searching the neighborhoods and areas around the neighborhood, and nothing came about. It even was...
That is so crazy that she disappeared like that, and it wasn't even that long that she called 911.
Yeah, about an hour and a half, and this girl is gone. That is a scary truth of all of this, you know what I mean? This could happen to anybody, anybody's mm-hmm. child, and it literally takes no time, and they could be gone.
Ugh, for real.
It's freaky. It was also stated somewhere that the state police, kind of like the FBI, came in because the city police was getting nowhere, and they were kind of like, what's going on? Like, you have to come up with something.
Wow.
So it's kind of good that they had two perspectives.
Yeah, that they brought more people in.
Mm-hmm. So, what happened to Maddie? The answer to this remained a mystery, and it would have remained a mystery if Josh's mother had not discovered something shocking in his room.
OMG.
Yes. So, remember that all of this took place, the day that she disappeared was on November 3rd.
Okay.
So now we're at November 10th.
So that's like 7 days later.
Yes. So literally a week later. Steve and Sheila Clifton were wrapping up a televised interview that they had hoped would help find their daughter. Kind of like a, please look for our daughter, this, that, and the other. You know, a plea to the town or, you know, nation, yeah, like to find their daughter. Well, at this precise moment, Melissa Phillips, Josh's mother, was cleaning her son's room and noticed his waterbed was leaking. or so she thought.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Looking closer, she found Maddie's Clifton's body and ran outside to alert an officer.
OMG. Where was it at though? Was it like under his bed? Was she under his bed?
She thought that his waterbed was leaking, so she looked under the bed and at first she saw 2 feet. She also noted that the smell as soon as she walked into Josh's room was like overtaking and powerful. And within seeing the 2 feet and white socks and some liquid with tape around it. Could you imagine the family though doing this interview and then this happening while in the midst of it all, like at the end of their interview, and then she's coming out of the house right over to these police officers right in front of them and saying, you got to come over here.
Oh my gosh, for real. How old is Joshua again?
He is 14 at the time.
And Maddie Clifton is how old again?
8.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So eventually they discovered Maddie Clifton's dead body under Josh's bed. And I know what you're thinking. The police ransacked Josh's house, car, storage, everything earlier in the week and came up with nothing. Well, apparently the Phillips had a lot of birds and just like kind of exotic animals in their house, to where their house kind of smelled like animals.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of masked the smell of everything. You know what I mean? Because most people, I've never smelt it, but most people that say that they have smelt a dead body know right away. Like, yeah. They say
and
that
it
the smell.
And it wasn't that long to like have the smell be super strong, I guess.
Yeah. So the smell hadn't had time
but
to like.
I still think it would smell.
You would think so, but I feel like on top of all the bird shit they probably had in their house.
It must have been a lot.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it, you know, but this is another reason why they said that the state police came in, because if you would have searched properly, you would have found this.
Yeah.
So on that day, a police officer went to pick up Josh at school and further ransacked his room for evidence and his involvement with the death of Maddie. Some things they found in his room pointed to this fact, which included a baseball bat, a Leatherman's knife tool, and different kinds of air fresheners and rolls of tape.
Wow. So he was trying to mask the smell, huh?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, his parents are so strict. How did he get all this air freshener and a baseball? I mean, a baseball bat's understandable, but a Leatherman's, like...
Like, how did he even have the time to do that, too, if his parents are so strict?
Exactly. So, we're gonna get into that.
And...
What?
Yeah. What did he do to Maddie?
That's what we're about to find out. So, what did Joshua Phillips do to Maddie Clifton? So, right away, Josh confessed to the murder. He said it was true that he had saw Maddie the previous day and that they had played baseball together. So at this time, Josh's parents were not home. This is why he was outside. You know, he wasn't really allowed to be outside before. They weren't home, which is shocking because you think, okay, they're strict parents, but they weren't home. So it's kind of Josh's way of like, oh, they're not home real quick. Let me go outside and play.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And especially because they're strict. Like, I'm sure he was like, this is my only time to go. And he just did what?
Yes.
He just lie, I guess.
And he even said that Maddie came up to him and said she wanted to play with him. And he was kind of hesitant at first, but he was like, why not? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My parents aren't home. I never get to play with children. Let me do this.
Yeah.
So, Josh admitted that he hit the baseball a little too hard at some point, and it struck Maddie in the left eye.
Ooh.
Leaving her with a bloodied eye, and she obviously was upset, and it hurt. But this was just the beginning of the gruesome murder he mm-hmm. perpetrated by... basically a child. I mean, Josh is a child. Maddie is a child.
Yeah, he was 15.
14. Yeah.
Oh, 14.
So instead of taking her home to be treated, Joshua claimed that he was scared that his father was going to do something terrible to him if he found out that he had played with this little girl.
Yeah, because they're so strict. And he's so mean, isn't he?
Yeah, he's so mean and he's an alcoholic, so he probably would have taken it to a further extreme.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when Maddie didn't stop wailing about her hurting eye, Joshua hit her in the head with the baseball bat and dragged her into his house.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and it was even stated that when they found Maddie's body that her clothes seemed to be ruffled with.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of insinuating that he had raped her.
Mm-hmm.
But when he confessed to his murder, he said that's why it looked like her clothes were tampered with, because he literally dragged her into the house.
Wow.
Which is understandable at 14 and then carrying an 8-year-old. Just, you know, easier to drag her.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So when Josh got her inside the house, he strangled her and beat her with a baseball bat to keep her quiet.
Dang, he's doing the most. Like, why?
Yeah.
Just I thought you were trying to help her in the beginning.
Right, at the beginning, it's like, but no.
Sorry. And then it's like, he just keeps going.
Exactly. So after he had strangled her and beat her with the baseball bat, he then pushed her unconscious body underneath his waterbed before his parents got home. But before nightfall, he removed his mattress and slit Maddie's throat. On top of this, with his Leatherman multi-tool knife, he stabbed Maddie Clifton in the chest 7 times.
Oh my gosh. So when he put her under his bed, she wasn't like all the way dead yet? She was just unconscious?
Yep, she was just unconscious from where he had strangled her and hit her with the baseball bat.
That's so brutal.
Exactly. If he hadn't have done that, maybe she would, you know, she'd be beaten pretty badly, but she still could have been alive,
mm-hmm.
just struggling. But he didn't let that happen.
Dang.
So police were stunned as they had searched the Phillips home 3 times. But mistaken the stench of Maddie Clifton's corpse for the small several birds that the family kept as pets. And this is where I said the FBI had become involved because the local police had failed to yield any results. So before November 10th, Philip was merely, not Philip, wow. Before November 10th, Joshua was merely a ninth grader with a C average at A. Philip Randolph Academies of Technology. And even people at the school had said that despite, you know, his grades or whatever, that they never would believe that he would do anything like this. That he was always very nice and not out of the ordinary.
Wow. I wonder what made him, like, just be set off.
You know, it's never really said. I think that that fear of his father, and it all just happened so quickly. It just kind of became, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As fucked up as it sounds, but. So he was arrested in school within moments of discovering the body. He was charged with first degree murder. Soon he was the focal point of all national news broadcasts, and those that knew him were in shock. So in fact, so many people in the tight-knit community were in disbelief once the news spread about Maddie's murderer that a judge ordered the trial to take place in a county halfway across the state in hope to curb jury bias.
Like, whatever.
It's kind of like the O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Kind of like the O.J. Simpson case. They had it completely far away so that they tried to not have bias within the community.
But this was nationwide news. Like, everybody knows about it.
Yeah, everybody knows about it. So it's probably still not going to do anything.
I hope not. Shit.
Right?
Yeah.
So Phillip's attorney, Richard D. Nichols, didn't put a single witness on the stand, hoping to use his closing argument that Josh was a scared child acting in desperation.
I guess I get that, too.
So we're going to see how that works out for him.
It's not worth taking a life at the end of the day.
No. No. Not at all. So the trial began on July 6th of 1999. So remember, this happened in November of 1998. It took until July 6th of 1999 to even get a trial. And it only lasted 2 days.
Wow.
That's it. Yeah, the jurors deliberated for barely 2 hours. And guess what? They found Josh guilty of first-degree murder.
Good.
Yep. And they said Josh showed no emotion as the verdict was read. And Maddie's parents, Steve and Sheila Clifton, just blinked back their tears. Sheila even stated, "This is a day of justice for Maddie." And outside the courtroom, she was clutching onto a bracelet with Maddie's name on it. And she said, "That piece of my heart that's gone is waiting on the other side, waiting on the other side for us."
Yeah, that's so sad. Because if you think about it, Maddie just went up to him to like play. And then this dude just kills her. That is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, she had no fear about him at all. You know, he was just a boy in her neighborhood that
yeah.
she wanted to play with. And I even have down below, there'll be a video from like 19 years later. Her sister, Jessie, bought the childhood home that Maddie lived in. And they do an interview with her. And literally, Maddie's house and Josh's house are right across the street from each other.
Wow. So she definitely had no reason to be scared.
And it's crazy that nobody saw.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. And nobody saw this happen.
That's sketchy.
It's crazy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So Joshua's family and his attorney left the courthouse without talking to any reporters, which is honestly probably a smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
On August 26th, the judge sentenced Josh to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Since he is under the age of 16, he can't be sentenced to the death penalty in Florida.
How do you feel about that? I mean, I guess at the end of the day, justice was served and he's going to be in jail all like his whole life. So I guess it's okay.
He is 14 and yes, he murdered somebody, but I don't feel like he should have went to prison for like,
what do you think he should have happened then?
I think he should have been put into something with juveniles because he is a juvenile. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was put into general adult population.
Wow. At such a young age?
Yeah. Yes. That's why I'm like, because at the time he went to jail or prison or whatever, he was 15. But still, to be put a 15-year-old in here, we'll take a pause and you scroll down just a little bit and you can describe to us the pictures that you see. The first pictures you're gonna see are of Maddie.
Oh, that first picture is so cute. She has such a cute smile. She's like over exaggerating it like a little kid does. Is that like her at age 8?
Yes.
Oh, she's a brunette. She has really pretty brown eyes and thick eyebrows. She has freckles.
She just looks like a happy little girl.
Yeah, she does. She looks happy. She has a smile every time.
Yes. So the next picture that you see are her parents, Steve and Sheila. And this was on November 6th at one of those news conferences that they held in the neighborhood, talking to all the reporters.
Yeah, and they're like both, they look like they're crying. Her mom's, she's like a redhead.
Yeah, like a strawberry blonde kind of.
They look like your typical parents. Yeah.
Yeah, they do look like your typical parents, especially like 90s. And then the picture below, passing out flyers, making it known. And these are just random people.
And then that picture below them, is that Joshua?
That, yes, that is Joshua at the time that he was arrested at 14.
Wow. Yeah, he looks like a young guy. He has a little bit of curly hair. It's short though. Brown eyes. Like typical average body.
Yeah. And then the pictures are from, the next pictures are from the trial. So when his trial started,
they cut his hair off, huh?
Yeah, I think they wanted to make him look a little bit cleaner and slicker.
Yeah. Wow, he looks different. And they even put glasses on him.
So next, you just got a couple pictures of that. If you go down, you see kind of like a, you'll see a picture of Maddie. It's kind of like, it's not a great quality picture, but it is a evidence picture of Josh's room that included the flyer that had been seen throughout the community. And this photo was projected on the screen during one of the testimonies at the trial.
So he had it in his room.
Mm-hmm.
That's creepy. Then I see that they pulled out the bed.
Because remember at the time,
that's eerie.
Yeah, the time that this had happened though, remember he helped people search, knowing damn well.
Yeah, I see it.
Mm-hmm. And then you see a picture of Sheila at the trial, and then of course you see they brought his waterbed as, I guess, evidence into the court.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to like paint the picture of her under the bed. So,
oh, he went to Duval County?
Yes.
OMG. I heard some bad things about Duval. Yeah, I heard it's like one of like the worst counties to be in there, and It's just crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, so to think about back what I just said, he was put into general population at 15 in that county.
Yeah, that's even scarier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So...
because I heard that they really, like, steal your stuff there. And, like, they'll be, like, mean to you.
Ooh, no thank you. The picture below the examiner, it shows Josh and his mother, like, kind of passing by holding hands.
How? Why did they let that happen?
I guess because she probably went on the stand and talked, and then passing, he probably grabbed her hand.
Aw.
She looks a little too happy to me, but, you know.
Yeah, like, well, do you know why we're here?
Yeah, like, do you know why we're all meeting here today?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but she has a smile on her face as she, like, grabs his hand.
Yeah.
I guess kind of exactly. To reassure him, but, like, I don't know, ma'am. Like, he did some crazy stuff.
Right. And then we have a picture. You see the Cliftons and their family and friends leaving the courtroom. And they did this during the time that they showed graphic photographs. Understandable.
Dang, the Clifton family and their friends.
They didn't want to see, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the picture after that is Jessica, Maddie's little sister, giving Sheila, the mom, a kiss before the news conference following the first-degree murder conviction.
Good. Justice was served. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess.
So all these pictures will be posted. Oh, and this other one, they show the bat that Joshua used to beat Maddie to death with. And the people that were on the side of Maddie Clifton used the bat during their closing argument.
Wow.
I would love to hear their closing argument.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And then if you scroll down a little bit, this was Josh in 2017.
Dang, that's so crazy. Like, he really has been there his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
He looks way older.
He's like teenage to adulthood. He's been in prison.
That sucks.
So, that picture that we just saw is going to kind of link back to where we're at in the story. So, after the Supreme Court found that mandatory life sentences for juveniles was unconstitutional in 2012, Josh became eligible for a resentencing hearing.
Wow.
Which I kind of agree with, because how can you sit there, like I said earlier, and sentence a juvenile to life in prison?
Yeah, that's not typically done, right?
No, and there should have been some kind of like reconstructional, like I'm talking about, like juvenile, but at the same time, it was murder.
Yeah, true.
But Maddie's sister Jessie was terrified that he would go free, and she said, and I quote, "She doesn't get a chance to walk on this earth again, so why should he?" End quote.
I mean, that's true too.
Very valid. So that picture that we saw from 2017 was his resentencing court date. The judge upheld the original sentence, ensuring that Josh Phillips would spend the rest of his life in prison.
Wow. I mean, I'm not mad. I'm not mad about it.
Exactly. So it has been stated that Josh has done well in prison despite living in the general adult population since he was 15. Josh says he has never been sexually assaulted or had any physical problems in prison.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's good. But also, is it? I'm just kidding.
Like, I wanted you to get beat up while you were in there.
Right? Like, come on. But Josh finished his high school diploma in prison and now is a law clerk who dishes advice to his fellow inmates.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's done pretty good in there. And in November of 2021, marked 23 years since Maddie Clifton was murdered. So, Josh...
how old would she be to this year, 2022, do you know?
How old would she have been?
Yeah, she was born in 1990.
Yeah, I can't do math, but so yeah. So, she'd
10,
be like 30.
20, 30, right? 32. She'd be like 32 this
I'm
year.
I'm stupid.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm just 30. Kidding, Erin. I didn't mean it.
Yeah, you're stupid as fuck.
No.
So now Josh is 38 years old and has been living in prison since the age of 14.
That's tough.
Phillip's life sentence will be reviewed 25 years after his original conviction. That would have Phillips back in Duval County courtroom in 2023.
For what exactly?
To review his life sentence once again, because they stated that it would be reviewed in 25 years, regardless of the 2017. Oh. So he's going to be up in court again in 2023 just to see...
Next year.
Yeah, just to see if they'll change his life sentence and possibly give him parole.
Wow.
Yeah. So back to that hearing in 2017, Phillips took the stand and apologized to Maddie's family for the first time in the entire time he has been in jail. He has never once apologized, or at least not publicly.
That's a long time. That's a couple years there.
Yeah, about 19. So he said, and I quote, "I don't pretend to know or understand your pain or grasp the void I created in your lives. I can say this, I do understand pain. I've become quite intimate with suffering. Growing up in prison, I've seen many dark things, and I've been in some dark places. Many times throughout this journey, I came close to ending my life just to escape it all." End quote.
Well, I mean, you took somebody's life, bro. I don't know. I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah, and they probably... No, and the family probably felt that way too. You know what I mean? They just lost their child. They probably didn't want to go on with life either.
Their child didn't get to go on with their life, so.
And I'll have.
Lucky you, you're still alive.
Exactly. And in some of the links that I'll have on the blog, we'll show kind of a little bit of his apology to the family, because I mean, it was 2017, a lot more social media, a lot more recordings going on, so there's gonna be clips of that as well.
So I saw that you had a couple of videos linked down below. What are they?
So down here, let's see here, I've got one of what I was talking about earlier. It's a interview with Jesse, or Jessica, the older sister, talking about the murder of her sister. Yeah. You know, 19 years later, because in that video, she stated that when it all happened, police officers kind of took her and distracted her and took her to IHOP. And she said she remembered seeing a missing poster of her sister. They didn't let her in the courtroom. Like, she had no idea really to the extent of what was happening, because she was a child herself. So now she's kind of recounting back on it, and she said that she didn't really have, as far as forgiving him, she felt like she didn't have the power to forgive him because it wasn't her place to forgive him. Kind of pushing it more on a Christian standpoint, that she felt like it wasn't her position to forgive him. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's in that video. And then we have a video of Josh reading his letter of apology for her murder. And then one that I found pretty interesting was an interview with Josh Phillips by Time Union in 2008, which was a decade after he killed Maddie. So you still get to see a little bit of a younger Josh. I mean, he would only be about 25. And then we have Maddie Clifton's family providing an emotional testimony in the resentencing of Josh. And then that last video is like a news clip of him getting life in prison again.
Okay. We'll make sure to link all the videos so y'all can watch them too.
Yes. And they're also, thanks to the efforts of Susanna Reed, a documentary producer, there is a 48 minutes documentary of Maddie Clifton's murder. In addition, in Suzanne's Children Who Kill episode, the viewer can follow Joshua's court proceedings, who had already spent 23 years of his life in prison. So it's going to kind of go backwards and show all of his court proceedings.
Okay. Wow. Definitely something I want to watch.
So if you find yourself really interested in it, yes, if you find yourself interested in this story, then you should definitely go check out the documentary.
Yeah.
So one last thing, the Clifton family has previously said their hearts go out to the Phillips family, knowing that they have suffered as well. They said this is something that no family should ever have to go through being on either side.
Yeah, I can see where that's rough, because how am I going to stand up for like my sibling after they brutally murder somebody? Like, that's tough on you too. You kind of lose them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, and also to be like his parents, one day they have this 15, 14-year-old kid, and the next day he's labeled as a murderer because he did murder someone, and then they lose him forever. You know how empty their house probably felt without their son?
Yeah, and just how you feel after, like, wow, they did that, like, my child. I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't either. It's just crazy. So that's about it for this week's episode. And as always, check out our Instagram and blog for the pictures and videos for this week's episode.
Yep. And I always put them on Instagram too, on the story. I don't know if y'all like that. I kind of feel like for the people that are just like, I would don't go to the blog. You can kind of see it too. But always there's the more graphic stuff will be on the blog.
And there's a lot of people that love stories. If you're looking if you're a true, like, crime fan and you want to see all the gory details, especially like last week's episode, a lot of those more gory pictures are definitely going to be on the blog and not Instagram.
Yeah, we would get taken down so quick, probably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Erin, for letting us know about that case. That was,
of course,
crazy.
It was sad and just wild to think that children kill too.
For real. Like, so brutal.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will see you guys next week for Rocio's story.
Yeah. We'll see y'all next Thursday. Bye.
All right. Bye.